June. 1:47 p.m. Drake University, Batala Sector, 72 degrees Fahrenheit indoors. I'm sitting in my dean secretary's office, again. On the other side of the frosted glass door, I can see a bunch of my classmates, seniors, all at least 4 years older than me, hanging around in an attempt to hear what's going on. Several of them saw me being yanked out of our afternoon drill class. Today's lesson, how to load and unload the XM621 rifle by a menacing pair of guards. And whenever that happens, the news spreads all over campus. The Republic's favorite little prodigy is in trouble again. The office is quiet except for the faint hum coming from the dean secretary's computer. I've memorized every detail of this room. Hand-cut marble floors imported from Dakota, 324 plastic square ceiling tiles, 20 feet of gray drapes hanging to either side of the glorious elector's portrait on the office's back wall, a 30-inch screen on the side wall, with the sound muted and a headline that reads, "Traitorous Patriots Group Bombs Local Military Station, Kills 5," followed by, "Republic Defeats Colonies in Battle for Hillsborough." Arisna Whitaker, the dean's secretary herself, is seated behind her desk, tapping on its glass, no doubt typing up my report. This will be my 8th report this quarter. I'm willing to bet I'm the only Drake student who's ever managed to get 8 reports in one quarter without being expelled. "Injured your hand yesterday, Miss Whitaker?" I say after a while. She stops typing to glare at me. "What makes you think that, Miss Paris?" "The pauses in your keystrokes are off. You're favoring your left hand." Miss Whitaker sighs and leans back in her chair. "Yes, June. I twisted my wrist yesterday in a game of Kiva ball." "Sorry to hear it. You should try to swing more from your arm and not from your wrist." I'd meant this simply to be a statement of fact, but it sounded sort of taunting and doesn't seem to have made her any happier. "Let's get something straight, Miss Paris," she says. "You may think you're very smart. You may think your perfect grades earn you some sort of special treatment. You may even think you have fans at this school. What with all this nonsense?" She gestures at the students gathered outside the door. "But I've grown incredibly tired of our get-togethers in my office. And believe me, when you graduate and get assigned to whatever post this country chooses for you, your antics won't impress your superiors there. Do you understand me?" I nod because that's what she wants me to do. But she's wrong. I don't just think I'm smart. I'm the only person in the entire Republic with a perfect 1500 score on her trial. I was assigned here, to the country's top university, at 12, 4 years ahead of schedule. Then I skip my sophomore year. I've earned perfect grades at Drake for 3 years. I am smart. I have what the Republic considers good genes. And better genes make for better soldiers, make for better chance of victory against the colonies, my professors always say. And if I feel like my afternoon drills aren't teaching me enough about how to climb walls while carrying weapons, then, well, it wasn't my fault I had to scale the side of a 19-story building with an XM621 gun strapped to my back. It was self-improvement for the sake of my country. Rumor has it that Day once scaled 5 stories in less than 8 seconds. If the Republic's most wanted criminal can pull that off, then how are we ever going to catch him if we're not just as fast? And if we can't even catch him, how are we going to win the war? Miss Whitaker's desk beeps 3 times. She holds down a button. "Yes?" "Captain Mateus Imparis is outside the gate," a voice replies. "He's here for his sister." "Good. Send him in." She releases the button and points a finger at me. "I hope that brother of yours starts doing a better job of minding you, because if you end up in my office one more time this quarter..." "Mateus is doing a better job than our dead parents," I reply, maybe more sharply than I intended. We fall into an uncomfortable silence. Finally, after what seems like an eternity, I hear a commotion out in the hall. The students pressed against the door's glass abruptly disperse, and their shadows move aside to make room for a tall silhouette, my brother. As Mateus opens the door and steps inside, I can see some girls out in the hall stifling smiles behind their hands.